So my name is Raekwon Bennett. Me and my wife, Carla Bennett, we serve as the outreach pastors here at Destiny Church. So we have been attending here now for about 13, 14 years. So, and also, Dylan mentioned it's me and Carla's 13-year anniversary. And I just want to promote my wife's business here. She made this awesome shirt. She got on one, too. So I just want to give her a shout-out, you know, on that. She told me not to do it, but I had to do it anyway. Amen. So as you all can see, the title of today's message is The Road to Revival. John Burton said this. He said, revival is a very offensive atmosphere. Church, we cry for revival and we say that we want it, but do we really understand what we're asking for? Because with revival, that means business as usual has to leave. Amen. And I want to take a moment. I want to highlight what the Lord is doing in Kentucky at Asbury University. It's awesome to see all of these young students come and cry out to the Lord. It's powerful what the Lord is doing. And when people show up hungry for the Lord, he responds. When people show up in humility, the Lord will respond. Amen. So a couple definitions of the word revival. It's a improvement in the condition or strengthen or of something. Here's another definition. A instant of something becoming popular, active, and important again. Church, it's time for the Lord to become important again in our hearts. It's time for us to get back to being hungry for the Lord as we was when we was first saved. Amen. So I thank you all. You already standing for the to honor the reading of God's word. And before I jump in, I want to mention real quick. If you are a guest here with us this morning, if you would take the connect if you would take the connect card in the seat pocket in front of you, and if you would fill this out and take it straight back there to the back, someone will be back there waiting for you. And we have an awesome Destiny Church mug that we would like to give to you. Just our way of showing that we appreciate you being here with us this morning. So we're going to be reading Second Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. And I'm going to be reading out of the ESV translation. As a matter of fact, let's go up to verse 12. Second Chronicles chapter 7, verse 12 through 14. When you there, say, oh, yeah. All right, that sound about everybody, so it's good enough. All right, here we go. Then the Lord appeared to Solomon in the night and said to him, I have heard your prayer and have chosen this place as a house of sacrifice. When I shut up the heavens so that there is no rain, or command the locusts to devour the land, or send pestilence among my people. And here's our key verse here. Very, very familiar verse that we all know. We quote it all the time, but do we really understand this verse? Here we go. If my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Notice the Lord is saying here, if my people who are called, not if the world who is called, if my people. Church, judgment starts in the house of God. It starts with us. Amen. So I'm just going to pray and then everyone can be seated. Father, we just thank you, Lord, this morning for your word. Father, I pray that your word will penetrate all of our hearts today, God. Father, I pray, Lord, as a matter of fact, church, lay your hand on your heart. Say, Lord, soften my heart. Soften my heart, God. Father, we need you. We need you, Lord. We humble ourselves today, God. We need you, Father. Show up in this place, God, and wreck us today. We lay everything down. We just want more of you, God. We want revival. We need your fire, God. We're tired of business as usual and just going through the motions, God. We know that there is more. There's more, God. We are supposed to be living on fire for you every day, not hit and miss. So, Father, we pray that your kingdom will come, that your will be done today, Lord, on earth as it is in heaven. Soften our hearts, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, amen, amen. You may be seated. So there are three things that we must have active in our lives on a road to revival. Point number one, we must walk in humility. Looking back at verse 14, it says, if my people who are called by my name humble themselves, right? Humility is an ongoing prayer life with the Lord. What happens when we get to that point when we feel like we don't need the Lord? We stop praying, or prayer becomes sort of hit and miss. In Luke chapter 5, verses 15 through 16, it reads, but despite Jesus' instruction of the report of his power, it spread even faster, and vast crowds came to hear him preach and be healed of their disease. But Jesus often withdrew to the wilderness to pray. Church, if the Lord often withdrew to pray, how much more should we? I think we miss that when we read the Gospels, just how much Jesus relied on the Father. And I'm saying this out of love. I'm preaching to myself, too. How much more should we do it? How dare we get to that place when we feel like I have arrived and I don't got to set aside a time to spend with the Lord? Come on, I'm just saying this in love today, man. Psalms chapter 42, verse 1 through 2, it reads, as a deer pants for the flowing streams, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? Church, are we thirsty every single day for the Lord? Do we have that hunger in us for more of him? Or are we just kind of going through the motions and kind of have that mindset of, oh, it is what it is? Do we really thirst and hunger for more of God? And Psalms, and also praying is an act of humility. Psalms of chapter 139, verse 23 through 24, David said, search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you, and lead me along the path of everlasting life. The only way we would know in our lives where we're not completely surrendered to the Lord, we have to have an active prayer life. We have to be willing to humble ourselves and ask the Lord to search us. But if we go into prayer with a heart of pride of already got it all figured out, of course, we're going to come away with, oh, God didn't show me nothing. God didn't highlight this or that, so I'm good. But it changes when we go to the Lord in humility. That's a game changer, church. And I know that's something that we've been being taught for years, humble ourselves. But do we really put that humility into practice in our daily lives? Paul said, I die daily. Church, prayer is a place where we go and die to our flesh. That's what Paul was saying when he said, I die daily, right? We can't die if we're not going to the Lord. How can we die to ourselves if we're not going to the Father and asking him to search our hearts and reveal the things to us that's not of him, right? And what we see in the American church, it's like, okay, God, I'm good with this room and I'm good in this area, but then we got hidden doors that shut off where we're not humbling ourselves to the Lord, right? Like Pastor Eric always say, we got to have all the chips pushed in the middle, right? We got to be all in for the Lord. When Jesus came to this earth over 2,000 years ago, he was all in. He gave us all. And in return, we have to be all in. And I'm going to say it again. Humility is coming bare to the Lord. Rick Joyner said this in his book, Final Quest, when he had a vision of the end time battle. He said, to grow in the Lord, we must first see past our own current level of deception. He went on to say that God was speaking to him and showed him that for every time we level up in the Lord will allow a certain level of deception just for us to remain in that humility towards the Lord. So for us to grow, we have to get past ourselves. We have to get past that, I got it going on, I'm good. Amen. And just a side note here, if you want your prayer life like wrecked and changed, I strongly encourage buy the book, The Final Quest. Me and Carla bought it and it has changed our prayer life. It scared me in a good way. Like really seeing how things go on in a spiritual realm and deception and all that. But I strongly encourage You guys pick up that book. So when Adam and Eve had sinned in the garden, when the Lord appeared, he said, Adam, where are you? I feel like the Lord is asking us today, church, the American church, where are we spiritually? I feel like the Lord is calling, where are you? One of the ways we show our humility towards the Lord is in worship, right? Church, we must understand worship is not about us. So we have to get out of that mindset of, oh, I got to have 8 hours of sleep. My week had to be perfect and this and that. We have to lose that mindset. It doesn't matter if we got a bum knee, if our ankle is hurting, if we got a headache, we should come in here every time we gather and we should give God the praise that's due to his name. Amen. Psalm 100, verse 1-5 reads, make a joyful noise to the Lord, all of the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into the gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name, for the Lord is good, and his steadfast love endures forever. Come on, man. He's worthy. Come on. As a matter of fact, let's just take a moment and lift up his name. Come on. Come on, all across this place. Come on, let's shake off the dust. Come on. Hallelujah. Father, you're worthy, God. Father, you are worthy of all the praise, Lord. Father, we worship your holy name. There's none like you, God. Father, forgive us, Lord. We repent for giving you stiff action figure worship, God. You are worthy. You are worthy, God. Father, we're going to dance. We're going to clap. We're going to shout, Lord, because you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And we give you all of the praise, God. We repent, Lord. We repent for letting our flesh get in the way. How could we not give you praise? How could we not worship your holy name, God? You're worthy. You're worthy, Lord. Hallelujah. There's none like you, God. There's none like you, Lord. Hallelujah. You're worthy. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Come on, church. That's how we got to worship, man. Every time, you know, when we gather, when we are at home spending our quiet time with the Lord, that's how we got to worship. We got to go after the Lord with our all. David said in 2 Samuel 6, when the Ark of the Covenant was being brought into the city of David, his wife was embarrassed by the way he was worshiping. Instead of David being like, oh, man, you know, you're right. I did a little too much. He told her, I can become even more undignified than this. Come on. Come on, somebody. Come on. Hallelujah. He said, I can do even more than this. If you thought that was crazy, I got more in the tank. Amen. Church, we have to stop, man. We got to stop looking around, doing worship, worrying about what the person next to me think. I don't have no rhythm. I don't care. Because it ain't for y'all. It's for the King. Amen. Come on. And that's a lie that all black people got rhythm, because I ain't got it. So that's a lie. Amen. Amen. It's all good. It's for the Lord. I remember years ago, we had a service at Kettering Assemblies of God. And I believe we had John Kilpatrick in, and I think it was Sean Smith and Nathan Morris. And I remember it was a guy at every service. He was the only one standing up at the altar, and this dude was like getting loose for the Lord. He didn't care what anyone thought. And I remember watching that. That really encouraged me. I'm like, man, like, this dude, he's up there getting it. He don't care what nobody thinks, right? And after that, seeing him, I'm like, man, Lord, I want to be able to worship you like that and not care about if somebody around me is going to chuckle or look at me a certain way. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6, it reads, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time, he may exalt you. Church, it's important that we live in that daily humility in our prayer life and also in worship. And just got a bonus point here. This one is free of charge, by the way. So a bonus point here. Another way we show humility is towards each other. And I know in American in the American church, we kind of dismiss that. Church, it says in James chapter five, verse 16, confess your sins to one another and pray so that you may be healed. Humility is being able to receive correction from God at any time, and also being able to receive correction from each other. And here's my question for the American church. Do we really have that humility? Are we willing to go to a brother, to a sister, and say, hey, I'm struggling in this area. I know what I need to do in my life, and I've been trying to do it, but this same thing is kicking my tail over and over. Are we willing to humble ourselves and go to a brother? I know I did that with Brother Jason and Brother Dylan countless of times. And then it was times that I didn't do that, and I learned the hard way, trying to handle something on my own, right? And I'm just saying this out of love today. And also, I wasn't going to mention this, but I feel like it's important. How many of you know who Kyrie Irving is? NBA player. Okay. So, recently, he just got traded from the Brooklyn Nets to the Dallas Mavericks. So, while he was in Brooklyn, he stirred up all of this commotion saying that black people are the real Jews. That's a lie from the pit of hell, by the way. But he started stirring up all of this Hebrew Israelite movement and this and that and this and that. He was skipping games. He wasn't showing up for work. He missed like a month of basketball, and then he missed like 2 or 3 weeks. So when he got traded at the press conference in Dallas, he said, it feels good to be somewhere where I'm welcome, right? He displayed pride. He didn't take no responsibility. He didn't show no humility for the things he did in Brooklyn. I was watching Fox Sports, and Nick Wright and Chris Bouchard, they had this to say. Nick Wright was saying that a person that's prideful, you become delusional. You become set in your own ways. And he was saying that it's sad that a person like that literally can say, I didn't do anything wrong. They did me wrong. And remember, the opposite of humility is pride. And if we come to the Lord with that same mindset, with pride instead of humility, we would never grow in it. We would never get past that. We would stay at that level where we are now. And also, if we can't show humility towards each other, we would stay at that level. Amen. Point number two, we must live in obedience. In our key verse here in verse 14, it says, and turn from their wicked ways. Church, we must understand, like, how can we expect our land, how can we expect America to be healed and turn from its sin if we're doing it in the house of God? How can we expect that if we're doing the same things that the world is doing? If we got constant anger issues, if we're running around cussing, if we're fornicating, if we're committing adultery, if we're idolizing things, I mean, you name it. If we have all of these wicked things going on in us, how can we expect our land to be healed? It starts with us. Turning from our wicked ways is an act of obedience. Our sinful desires will try to creep up. But church, it's on us in those moments. Either we're going to rely on Jesus and our strength in him, or we're going to turn back to our wicked ways. In those moments, we have a choice. Amen. We have a choice. I'm sick and tired of this lie in the American church that, oh, brother, you going to sin. Oh, sister, you going to sin. Why would Paul say, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength? Why would 1 John say, it says, if you sin, if not when, right? Why would it say, be holy as I am holy, right? It's not like God is dangling over our heads like, oh, man, you can have this life. We can. However, it's through humility and obedience to God, right? Another form of obedience that I believe we miss in the American church is doing what the Father tells us to do, being about the Father's business. In John chapter 14, verse 23, excuse me, in verse 23, This was when Jesus was around like the age of 12. And Mary and Joseph, his parents, they were looking for him. And this is what Jesus had to say. Let me see. Oh, I apologize. Wrong verse there. Luke chapter 2, verse 49. Jesus said to them, "Why do you seek me? Do you not know that I must be about my Father's business?" So even at that moment, even as like as at the age of a child or a boy, if you will, Jesus was about the Father's business. Church, are we about the Father's business? Because anytime we don't do what the Lord tells us to do, that is a form of disobedience. And I believe in the American church, we downplay that. We think that if the Lord is putting on our heart to go and share the gospel with someone at work or with our neighbor, we think that, oh, that's not disobedience. Disobedience if I'm doing this sin act at home when no one else is looking. No, also disobedience is not listening to the Lord when he commands us, when he tells us to do something. Jeremiah Johnson said it this way. He said, any area in our life that's not under the influence of the Lord is under the influence. It could be under the influence of a Jezebel spirit. He said disobedient could be a Jezebel spirit. I'm just bringing a word this morning, man. I'm talking about myself too. John chapter 14, verse 23 through 24 reads, Jesus answered him and he said, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and he will come to him, and we will make our home with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my word, and the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father who sent me." So how can we say we love the Lord if we're not obedient to him? We can really question where we are with the Lord. Amen. I know I have. When there's been times that I haven't been obedient to the Lord, I question, like, man, like, Father, how much do I really know you? How much do I really love you? Samuel told Saul in 1 Samuel 15, to obey is better than sacrifice. We see this a lot in the American church. We see a lot of sacrifice without obedience. We figure if we check the box, if we show up, we serve in this ministry, we serve in here, we show up to this outreach, we pass out food to the homeless, and all of those things are awesome. We should do those things, right? Even Jesus came to serve. However, if we're living a life of disobedience to the Lord, those things are pointless, right? In our daily walk with the Lord, are we doing what our Father tells us? Just going to tell on myself a bit. So during the week fast we went on back in January, the Lord dealt with me on some things. And the Lord gave me a image or a vision, if you will. He showed me a elevator. And he told me, like, Quan, if you want to level up in me, it's a certain area of your life that you're not living. And on over the elevator door, it had the word obedience, right? And I just began to ask the Lord, where am I not being obedient in this, you know, in this current moment in my life? And the Lord hit me. He said, you have given up on praying for your son, your loved ones and family members that's not saved. He said, you have lost the fire to intercede for your son. And he said, I've been telling you to pray and intercede and fight, but you have been being disobedient to me in that area. Right? So that hit me. That hit me. And it hit me hard. And from that point, I just began to cry out for my son, because I got to the point where I was looking at it from my perspective, from my point of view. I had the thought, like, man, he's not going to come back. He don't want nothing to do with me, you know, but the Lord got on me and now I'm crying out for him. I don't care what I see with my eyes. I refuse to believe that me and Carla won't get custody of Ryan. I refuse to believe that in Jesus' name. So church, where today in our lives, and I'm just asking us all, those of you who are watching online or listening by podcast as well, where in our lives are we not being obedient to the Lord? I love what the Lord gave Sister Sarah this morning, that word, that we think the small things don't matter. They matter. To God, it's important. If the Lord is telling us or telling someone, hey, go minister to your neighbor, not doing that, it's an act of disobedience. And also, it can be considered a wicked way. That's how we got to look at it. We got to take those things and we got to stop separating the $1 bills, the $5 bills. We got to look at sin as sin. We shouldn't look at it like, oh, it's not $100, so it's not a big deal. No, the $1 bills, the small things, they matter too. I would love to see anyone here or anyone watching online take all the $1 bills in your wallet and just rip them up. Right. No one is going to do that. Right. So when it comes to sin, those small things, they matter. Point number three. We must exercise endurance in seeking God. In our key verse here, it says, "And seek my face." Church, I believe we got it all wrong in the American church. We think that seeking the Lord was that one time thing I did 13 years ago when I fell out in the power of God. Seeking the Lord is ongoing. It's having that endurance. And I believe that's where we miss it, because you talk to a lot of believers, they'll tell you like, oh yeah, back at youth camp, back in 1985, I was touched by God. Okay, what has the Lord been like since then? What's been going on in your life since then? Oh, well, you know, just waiting for him to come back. That's not how the Lord wants us to live. Biblical seeking is all about having endurance. Brothers, I'm going to have you pull up that boxing picture for me. Come on, y'all. Come on. Y'all knew it was coming. Come on. Y'all knew it was. Y'all knew it was. Can anybody tell me who these two are? George Foreman. That's right. That's right. So that is the Rumble in the Jungle. It was October 1970. So in this fight, what's interesting about this fight is on paper, Foreman should have won. As a matter of fact, if you go back and you look at the stats, George Foreman, he landed almost 100 punches more than Muhammad Ali. If you go back and look at it, he had Ali on the ropes. Ali was taking a beating, right? But a key thing happened, I believe it was in the 7th round or the 8th round. Foreman got tired. Church, how many of us, we can be on fire for a season? We can be going in for the Lord for a while, but then that endurance, it begins to die out. It's important that we have endurance in seeking the Lord. This must be daily in our lives. Amen. If we don't have that endurance, it may not be next month. It may not be next year. It may not be into 2 years, but eventually we will die out. And I'm saying this morning out of love. In Leviticus chapter 6, verse 13, it reads, "The fire should be kept burning on the altar continuously. It should not go out." Church, are we chopping wood every single day? Do we have that hunger? Do we have that endurance for the Lord daily in our lives? We must understand a small prayer life equals sin pattern and bondage. A fire prayer life with endurance equals breakthrough and freedom. Do we have endurance in our prayer life? Proverbs chapter 26, verse 20, it reads, "Fire goes out without wood." Now, I know that verse specifically is talking about gossip, right? However, the Bible does says that every verse has one meaning in it, but many applications. So we can take this verse and also we can apply here that where the fire goes out without wood. So if we become dead, if we become dry in our walk with the Lord, the fire goes out. See, I love what Brother Dylan said as well during offering. We play a part in this too. We think that, oh, Lord, just send the fire. Oh, Lord, just do this. Are we doing our part? Are we intentionally moving things out of our lives? Are we intentionally seeking the Lord and walking in that endurance? Me and Brother Joe was talking about this yesterday, Joe Schaub. We was talking about how it's all these things we got going on in our lives, and the Lord is just sitting back, and he wants us to move those things. He wants us to get rid of those things. Amen? And that is on us. We have to lose this mentality of, oh, the breakthrough is going to come. Oh, this is going to come. We have to do our part. In church, we can't give up. It says in James, count it all joy when you go through trials and tribulations. Do we have endurance when things get rough? It's easy to go all in for the Lord when everything is going well, but how do we go for the Lord when things get rough? When we could get a bad doctor report, and I'm not speaking that over no one in here, when hours could get cut at work or family members calling, cussing you out, right? In those moments, do we still have endurance? Or the moment something happened, we just, oh, I'm done. I'm about to just sit here and let the enemy just well on me. I'm done. Church, we must lose that mentality. If we keep that mentality, our fire will burn out. So something else we must understand, if we really want revival, that means getting out of church at 1 o'clock, 12:30, those days will be over. That means potentially on a Wednesday night, we could be here to midnight. That's possible. We have to be prepared for that, right? Because revival, when it hits, is going to be very inconvenient. We must understand that. God is not going, oh, I understand. Oh, I know you got to get your 7.5 hours of sleep, and I know you got to have your smoothie and your tea and all that, right? God is not going to do that. If we are really hungry for God and crying out to him, when he shows up, which I'm believing he's going to show up here, I'm believing he's going to show up in our city, but when it happens, are we really going to be ready for it? So I want to close with this. I'm going to have my wife bring up the umbrella. Just want to show you guys what the Lord showed me. Thank you, Butter. Appreciate it. She don't like me calling her Butter, but I said it anyway. So the Lord gave me this as I was preparing for this message. He showed me this at work. So I seen an image. The Lord showed me all of these people walking into churches across America. Now, in this image, they had raincoats. So I ain't got no raincoat or no poncho. So this, hey, work with me. Come on, y'all. Y'all be all right. So in this image, he showed me all of these different people walking in churches across America, and they had on raincoats. And I was like, man, Lord, like, what does that mean? And I was talking with Joe Schaub and Pastor Eric about it Wednesday night. And we were all talking, and Pastor Eric was like, I believe what the Lord was showing you was people resisting the reign of God. Not people in the world, talking about the church. And when the Lord showed me that image, it was mixed in. He showed me people crying out, but then it was people who was just sitting there not receiving a thing. And that broke my heart. You know, to know that it can be people in the church who just can resist like that, right? But we do know the Bible says the Lord will give us over to our ways. And I believe he do that to teach us, because when we get so far away, it's like, man, how did I get way over here? Pride and not having humility. So my prayer is for us, you know, this morning, that we will be, you know, all in. And also in this hour, we're seeing, I believe, the separation between the sheep and the goats. I believe God is doing the separation. We know that sheep, if you think about a sheep, they're very reliant animals, right? They need a shepherd. A sheep can't really, it can't defend itself, right? Goats, however, they can't really do much to defend themselves. However, they think they can, and they're more curious. It's okay to laugh. Goats think that they can defend themselves, right? So often, what do goats do? They wonder. They wonder. They wander off. They see something that to their minds, they think like, man, that grass over there look like it tastes a lot better. I'm gonna go head over there. And what they don't realize is wolves waiting to devour them. Amen. So we must understand that in this hour, God is separating the sheep from the goats. God doesn't want robots. So he's not going to make us humble ourselves. He's not going to make us be obedient. He's not going to make us seek him with endurance. That choice is ours. That's on us. How much of the Lord do we really want? How hungry are we really for the Lord? You know, the Lord showed me about 3 weeks ago or so. I can't remember when it was, somewhere around there. So, you know, like on your phone, you can go to a certain setting and it shows you how much time you spent on this app and that app. I kid y'all not. I don't even know how to get to it. But this particular day, it popped up. And I seen how much time I spent on the internet and YouTube, and it made me sick. I seen that. Like, man, I spent that many hours, but God only getting an hour a day. But I spent that much time doing that. But I say I want revival. Church, we must understand it's going to cost everything. It's going to cost everything. And we have to be willing, if we really want freedom, if we really want breakthrough in our lives, if we really want to see our land healed, it's going to cost everything. Amen. Gonna have us all stand to our feet.
Thanks for listening to the Sermon of the Week. This message and other resources are available at destinydayton.com.